This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, two to go, 2 hours left of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects coming to you live from Luke's in Beaumont. Come on down right off of Calder and stop by, see us now. Everybody's on the deck hanging out, having some adult beverages and some good food. Tosh is full for the time being, so is Andreas. That'll change before 4 o'clock. So if you want to get to the kitchen, get to it now because there's a lull that probably won't be there in a few hours. But again, great people, great atmosphere, great establishment. We love coming down here to B-Town, to Luke's, to hang out with you on a Friday. And again, 250 Bud Light, Miller Lite, Coors Light on the deck till 7. 7 o'clock until close, $4 fireball shots. Mm. Shot of the day, $5 apple pie shot. Andreas thought that came with ice cream. When he found out, he passed. Otherwise, he might eat that too. The table is also edible in Andreas' mind, so we'll find out later how far that goes. But we'll be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. Talking a little football before the break. And I don't know if you saw this, but the aftermath is going to be very interesting, both what we have audio-wise, and also what is to come between the Rams and the Saints. We talked a little bit about the results of that game between the Saints and the Rams this past weekend. We know that the dagger was the Michael Thomas touchdown where Marcus Peters kind of misplayed it a little bit, couldn't get back in time, ball went over his head, touchdown. What people aren't aware of is, one, Sean Payton likes to talk a whole lot of noise when he's on the sideline.
Oh, cash money.
When he is mic'd up, he is, I'm telling you, even against the Vikings last year in that playoff game, he was bumping his gums and did not care who was in earshot. Well, evidently, he was doing it on the field. And then after the game, he made sure to let everyone know they wanted the matchup with Marcus Peters and Thomas, and when it happened, oh, they were happy. Well, Marcus Peters got wind of it, and Marcus Peters is a real, real dude. And you need to read between the lines on this, but Marcus Peters had a little bit of a response for Sean Payton.
Were you where Sean Payton said after that New Orleans game, he said in that last sequence, we wanted, they got the matchup they wanted with you on him one-on-one.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that we gonna see him soon. You feel me?
Fair enough.
Yeah, because I like what he was saying on the sidelines, too. So tell him to keep talking that, and I hope you see me soon. You feel me? And then we're going to have a good little, nice little bowl of gumbo together.
Now, if Sean Payton thinks that's about kicking it with a bowl of hot food, I got news for you. Marcus Peters is from the hood, and he is the real deal. And if you think that's about gumbo, good luck to you, because Marcus Peters is going to be looking for a little sideline action on Sean Payton. Sean Payton's got to know, he's got to stay in his happy place, too.
The very reason Marcus Peters is not a member of the Houston Texans, and Kevin Johnson is,
that's correct,
is the Texans had a level of concern about Marcus Peters and his off-the-field stuff that they weren't comfortable with, so they went with Kevin Johnson. The Chiefs reportedly, as well as other teams, sent investigative reporters to Oakland to investigate Marcus Peters' family, his friends, and things like that to make sure that this wasn't a situation where a guy is going to get to the NFL, the money and the financial advantages that he has then get used for situations that are huge negatives off the field for him. That worked out for the Chiefs. They've moved on. It's worked out so far for the Rams. It's rare that Marcus Peters finds a bad matchup, but right now Michael Thomas is a bad matchup for everybody in the NFL. Sean Payton doesn't need to be telling Marcus Peters that, though.
And the thing is, you don't need to give them any extra incentive. You took care of business. You established yourself as the best team in the NFC because you won. Now, granted, you had an advantage because you were playing on turf at home. Don't give them bulletin board material. You got to play them again in the regular season. Right? Before you play them in the playoffs.
No, next time they'll meet up would be the NFC Championship.
Well, I thought they said that there was one more matchup, but okay, if I'm wrong, then that playoff game just got a lot more interesting.
They got to get there. They both got
to get there. But if they meet up, you don't need bulletin board material, right? You want the two best teams to play, but if the two best teams and one of them has a defensive back with a chip on his shoulder that can play all pro level football,
when a knock, and I think bulletin board material sometimes is an overrated aspect. Like, if somebody wanted to talk mess about Tom Brady or talk mess about Gronk, like, that doesn't do anything for the Patriots. Like, they're already maximizing what they've got. But when you've heard about guys in the NFL who at different times maybe have had issues taking care of their film work, taking care of their playbook and studying, you don't want to give that guy the extra incentive to actually do his film work, to actually
you
got to
go further
study.
Than that. Because I'll tell you this, you can say all of that, but I'll give you another one that you got to take into consideration. If Burfict is the guy that you're targeting and you know his track record, regardless of where he put his playbook, he's going to bust your ass right in the mouth when the refs aren't looking, when the play is dead, and he ain't going to care.
Yep.
There are guys in this league that you just know better, right?
Right.
So you look at a guy that has had a better-than-average career since he came into the league in Marcus Peters, who's all pro when he's with the Chiefs, right? Maybe he hasn't had the year he expected or the team expected with the Rams, but he can still play at a very high level. But you got the best of him. Just – can take that for what it's worth and move on.
Take your win and move
right.
on.
But the fact that you want to stir him up and rustle the bear, you better look out now because he's coming for you.
He
doesn't care as long as you're wearing and you play and who you are.
You don't want a guy like Marcus Peters if you throw a screen over to Michael Thomas' side where he would have gone maybe for the high wrap-up. You don't want him going low, knocking something out, or like you mentioned, the extra stuff. And the extra stuff that doesn't get caught usually leads to someone getting caught, and it's typically the guy retaliating.
The second guy.
Right. So you don't want Peters to have that extra incentive to be under Michael Thomas' skin in the NFC Championship game and be poking and prodding him and getting Thomas off his game, and the next thing you know, there's fisticuffs, big stage, the NFL's trying to make a statement, somebody gets tossed, or it's a 15-yard flag in a really close game on your guy. Like, you don't need to give Peters any incentive. Like, if you wanted to talk trash about Jonathan Joseph, like,
well, I was gonna say, if you want Kevin Johnson, that's going nowhere.
Yeah,
Kevin Johnson is just not the disposition or the type to go after and say, "Oh, I'm coming after your ass now."
Even Jonathan Joseph, like, cooler heads are gonna prevail there. Like, you may think that you have
advantage. J. Joe would mix it up a little bit. I think Honey Badger would mix it up I think Kareem would mix it up if you're gonna go at secondary guys.
Marcus Peters level.
No.
See, that's the thing. It's like, and that's the type of locker room, too. The Ndamukong Suh's on that team. That's a dirty player.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I know that from watching his games when he was with the Lions.
That's a dirty player. Like, you don't want to give any of those players who might be dirty or might play dirty at times.
But maybe it just fires up the rest of your team.
Yeah.
Maybe Aaron Donald's like, I got my boys back. I'm coming after you. Who cares? You don't want that. You got enough by just having, like you said, an all-world matchup between the two best teams in the NFC. But if you give them a little extra incentive, and if you don't have home field because the Saints schedule down the stretch is pretty tough, and you got to go to L.A. whether the fans are there or not, on real grass, that's a different story for a Saints team.
By the way, I love Marcus Peters saying that because I know he's the type of guy that's not going to he's going to back it up or he's going to die trying.
Yeah, he's not going to back down. He's not going to pull a Jalen Ramsey and talk while the going's good, but when the going gets bad, he's going to say two-word answers and head for the exit.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, Marcus Peters is not that guy, gang. He is the guy that's going to come at you and not stop, both on the field and when the play is stopped. So I love that, and obviously for the casual fan, it just adds more fuel to the fire if those two teams meet up again. But at the same time, when you look at it, it's like Sean Payton – go back in on the NFL Network and go back and get the mic'd up from that Saints-Vikings game in the playoffs last year and listen to the level of crap that he talks throughout the game, especially when he thinks that it's over. Players around the league know it. This morning on ESPN, Jonathan Vilma was on. He said he does it in practice with his own team.
Oh, my gosh.
So if he's doing it in practice with his own players and he's doing it on the sidelines, sooner or later someone's going to get him.
Well, you got to look at the tree that he comes from. Parcells was a get-under-your-skin guy.
But Bill's not a guy that's going to go at the other team and give
But he would go at his own guys. But
yeah,
Peyton going at the other guys, you know, that's a step further than even Parcells would take it. And you know what? When you're that dude, when you're Sean Payton, when you're one of the best coaches in the NFL, you're going to get away with it. Because I guarantee you, if it was, you know, Vance Joseph running his mouth on the other team, it would not come off as good. Like, Peyton gets away with it, and his team backs him up a lot, but the first time he doesn't, or somebody says, well, you know what? Yeah, Sean Payton gave me that little extra. You know, maybe it shuts him up a little bit.
It'll be fun to watch. All right, so that's a little bit more on the football scene. I got a quick trivia for you guys. I got two weird stats for you from the NFL for this year before we move on that. So we'll get that after the break, and then we'll continue to move on. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, well, feel free to reach out and touch us via the electronic form, 713-780-3776, where you can hit us up via phone call or text message or hit us on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
I see your dad.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Luke's Ice House, Beaumont. Come on down. See us till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. Having a good time. Lots of happy hour specials. Get yourself some apple pie. Shot. Fireball. Shot. Speaking of fireballs, the heat lamps are on so high that they're melting the yogurt pretzels you brought me.
Blueberry yogurt pretzels.
Yeah, where did the blueberry come from?
I don't know. They have raspberry.
You just decided that was the flavor
for
me?
That's the one that I
you like them. So you actually bought them for me hoping I'd open them so you could eat them?
No. I have my own bag in the car. Which should not surprise you.
Nick, this is why you're getting a 2-liter. He's going to take half of it, but just to let you know, this is why you're getting a 2-liter. So with that being said, hey, you guys want to chime in on the show as well. So, Nick, we got some calls holding that want to get in here on the discussion? Nick?
I think he's answering them right now.
Okay. So but while we're getting the calls queued up to see if they want to get in here, I don't know if you guys saw this or not either, too, but I wrote an article about the secondary for your Houston Texans.
Okay.
On Sports Map. I actually did a video for it. And I'm looking at the situation at the end of the year, and I'm wondering, if you're the Texans, what are you going to do? Because Kareem Jackson's playing his ass off. As you and I mentioned yesterday, Pro Football Focus, third ranked in terms of overall the way he's playing in the secondary. He's free agent.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They've already upped and picked up the final option year on Kevin Johnson at 9. That is exactly what Kareem is making this year. We all know the Honey Badger is a free agent as well. In my mind, you got to do whatever's necessary to bring Kareem back and the Honey Badger. And I'm fine leaving Kareem at corner, which they thought he couldn't play anymore, but he's proved to be able to play it this year. But I'm done with Kevin Johnson.
No, I can't have him back.
I don't want Kevin Johnson back. And then, look, Jonathan Joseph at 4.5 next year, I'm fine with him being your nickel. I'm fine with him kind of wherever you want to move him around. I don't think he's a starting corner on the other side anymore. But 4.5 to me is a reasonable price for an experienced veteran player that's, again, proven. He's another guy that stepped up a little bit, proven he can play. But everybody's saying you got to choose between Kareem and the Honey Badger. Do you? Because you love Reed. But Reed and the Honey Badger on the back end of the defense, and then you let Kareem keep playing that other corner position, because he's definitely not as slow as J-Jo. So if J-Jo is going to be kind of like your Swiss Army knife, you might have to go get another corner. But I'm fine. Colvin is a guy you have to wait and see what the ankle's like when he comes back, and
then
if it has any long-term effects. But I don't want to choose. I want all those guys back.
Yeah,
except
why not?
Kevin Johnson.
Why not? I mean, why not bring those guys back and then see if it's a situation where you find the right – maybe it's draft pick or it's a free agent signing, an under-the-radar guy that you like that maybe another team didn't like, something like that. They've got to do something for the future of the cornerback position, but you're entering a territory here with this team where spend the money on the defense, spend, because you have Deshaun Watson with that cheap contract. So if it is a couple of years for Kareem, if it is a few for, you know, 5 years for Tyrann Mathieu, do it.
And plus, like you've been saying all along, Clowney's going to get paid one way or the other. So if you have any aspirations of bringing him back, you got money that you got to use now.
Yeah. Use that cap room. That's why you That's why you spent, you know, you didn't spend heavy the past couple of years. You had that rollover effect with a lot of that cap room that the Texans have right now. I mean, you're talking about a team that's going to finish up at the end of the season if they don't extend anybody, which they won't because that's some weird business thing that they do.
Right.
But you're talking about a team that's going to end up with a top five, top six cap space number in free agency. And you would hope that guys that you're familiar with who've been around for a while, Kareem Jackson, isn't going to come out and say, okay, well, I want the fattest contract I can find. He'll take care of you, and you take care of him in that situation. That's the hope. But at the same time, Kareem Jackson, 30 years old, be 31 soon. Okay, go get paid. You know, get paid. If it's the Texans that's going to pay you, somebody will pay you that money just because the cornerback position is so tough in the NFL right now. Guys go from one of the better ones to one of the worst ones in no time. Josh Norman, one of the guys that was locked down. Nobody could score on him. And then he goes to Washington. It's giving it up left. Future, three picks in the first two rounds. One of those is going to probably be a cornerback to go along with some of those offensive linemen.
Rudy's on hold. Rudy wants to get in here talking about what we were talking about last segment, which is coaches and players running their mouth, bumping their gums. Rudy, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good talking to you. Hey, nice subject. The motivation thing is, you know, that's key on the field, and it's key with GMs and every sport and coaching and whoever is in the decision-making of building a team, you know, and it really falls back on, you can apply those team dynamic terminology to me to help make those decisions, either as a fan, your opinion or whatever, and maybe even in the organizations themselves. But I like to think that those intrinsic motivators, when you can find people on your team that either are motivated by the joy of playing with players, meaning their culture is good and they play well together and they like playing together, a la the Astros kind of had that mojo going in 2017. They like playing together. It appears that their culture was really solid. And I think it applies to every sport, you know. And then some are just maybe more or less motivated by those extrinsic motivators like money, you know, and on the intrinsic side, back on that side, you got like people like Tom Brady, who was historically motivated by his drafting position and how he was viewed coming into the league. But I think those motivators are huge. I think to underestimate what motivating a player can do, I think as a coach, I don't want to ever throw anything out that may in any way motivate.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Rudy. I appreciate the call, man. Here's the thing. When you're talking about the old expression of let a sleeping dog lie, there is so much truth in that, in the fact that, you know what, they're all kind of dogs, right? But if you got a thoroughbred greyhound, if you've got a purebred, right, but just maybe is having one of those days, last thing you want to do is fire that dog up so that dog all of a sudden becomes really active, really – you know, a little extra juice, a little extra gas in the tank. You don't want that. So that's the thing. I mean, you look at it, and you're right. But and Rudy, here's the other thing that you got to consider with all this being said, when you're talking about the Saints and talking about motivation and the locker room. The locker room has been super tight. Everything's been positive with the Saints. Don't forget they also are bringing in Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant has the capability to completely turn that thing upside down too. So now you've got a couple things that you're dealing with. You've been rolling along through the first half of the season, coasting now. Everybody thinks you're the best team in football. But, oh, by the way, now you've got a couple extra hurdles to deal with that might put a little monkey wrench in what your plan has been to this point.
It's one thing for the Super Bowl-winning offensive mastermind coach to run his gums on the sideline a little bit. Dez Bryant coming in on a $600,000 contract out there, talking all that mess, firing the other team up. You don't need that.
No.
You don't need that.
But you don't need your coach doing it either.
No, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
So we'll see how that all plays out. And, Rudy, again, appreciate the call. I mean, look, everybody can be motivated a lot of different ways. But the big thing is that you just don't need to poke the sleeping bear, right? You don't need you already proved on the field where you sit in terms of the head-to-head.
Sure.
And like you said, they may or may not meet again. But if they do now, there's enough there that if they weren't fired up enough for what is on the line for the game, if it's the playoffs, they're going to be more fired up because of all the things that have been said and done.
No doubt. No doubt. Okay, where do you stand on – okay, so we're not – a huge fan of what Sean Payton's, you know, constantly running his mouth on the sideline.
Right.
And then dropping the "we like the matchup" on the Rams' best corner after the game. What did you think of Rivera last night? I thought this was funny. I don't know how his team's going to react to it.
Crap happens.
At the end of the day, this bleep happens. I'm going to put it like that. Let's be honest about it. It happens. My 30th year in the NFL. I've been on this side. I've been on the other side. Bleep happens.
I don't think I want to hear that from a head coach that just got his ass handed to him on national TV. But I will say this. If you just want to decipher what he said and look at the schedule, you know it does. Because there's a Buffalo Bills team that is straight hot garbage that absolutely took the Vikings to the woodshed.
Yes.
And blew them out. So, and I'll go a step further for all of you people that want to bring it closer to home. For as bad as the New York Football Giants are, they got to win this year, and it happened to be at NRG.
Yep.
So every dog has his day. Don't poke that dog, and don't let him have his day. But in the NFL, the track record shows it's going to happen.
I almost wonder if this is Ron Rivera trying to convince himself that this is a, oh, random off on the schedule. We just were off tonight. We couldn't compete with those guys. Just a one-game thing. And that it's not, my team's maybe one of the
fool's
more fraudulent
goal.
Teams
yeah.
in the NFL.
Well, and at least he didn't pull the Gary Kubiak. That's on me.
Oh, jeez.
I got to coach better. That's on me. But there's your two options. You either go to the podium and you say, that's on me, and we got to coach better to deflect it off your players. Or you got to try and get people to believe the smokescreen of, hey, it happens in every NFL season, and you're going to have your day, and sometimes we're just not going to show up. It just happens. If you think people are going to believe that, you think the media is going to believe that, they're going to ease up on questions because of that, you're sadly mistaken. So with that being said, we're going to roll on. I do have those two stats for you that I thought were mind-boggling, so before we go to break, I do want to hit you with those. There are two stats that I don't think anybody really should be able to believe this year in the NFL. Here's one of them. The Washington Redskins have not had a lead change their entire season, people. In 8 games, whoever has gotten the first score of the football game has not relinquished the lead for the rest of the game. That is straight crazy. It doesn't matter who's won and who's lost. That has been a true fact of every game the Redskins have played. And here's another mind-numbing stat for you. The Kansas City Chiefs have not lost a coin toss all season. They're 9-0 on the coin toss. You want to go back to the preseason? They're 12-0 because in their last three preseason games, they won those two. And you want the mathematical numbers behind that? There is a 0.0244% chance of that happening again or ever happening. And so, it's happening now.
So pretty low.
The apocalypse is upon us.
I can see the four horsemen in the sky now.
Look the heck out, okay? Do not stand under a tree with lightning today. I'm just telling you. It's one of those days. All right, we're going to roll on. We're at the midway point of the show. Before we hit the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about Fitz for a long time because they're just solid people doing great work on roofing in the Houston and surrounding areas. How do I know? Well, I know that there are things that they have that no other people do, like base warranties that are longer than the average roofer. The fact that they use certain Teed shingles so you get a quality product is one thing, but the fact that they are a certain Teed shingle master company is another. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to attain that elite status. They got it. You need it. You should go get it. That's right. You're not going to get screwed over with roofing issues when you go to Fitz. And also, Fitz is dedicated to the community so much that they give back. They give 10% of their profits back through a nonprofit they set up called Fitz for Families. The money goes to help people who need roofing help but can't afford to pay for it. They got an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. Why would you go anywhere else? It's FITZRoofing.com or just call 832-521-3001, 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Check it.
Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. It's the Usual Suspects live from Luke's. And boy, you can tell the adult beverages are flowing because now everybody's loud as can be. Everybody's conversations are anything but a whisper, and everybody thinks they're on center stage. Okay? The Steelers played last night. Let's take it down a notch. We're back here. Cody Stutes filling in for Barry Laminack. We are here at 2325 Calder Avenue. And the party can begin because the Popemobile has parked, and the Papal Party is walking through the tenting. Lauren Pope is here. Welcome, Lauren, and start the festivities, people. Cue the band. Cody? That's Lauren. Lauren, that's Cody. Now we've made our formal introductions. We can carry on with our day. What's going on now? Second half of the show. Plenty more to take a look at. One thing I did want to point out, if we go back to basketball for 1 second, a couple of key things for while you were sleeping last night.
Okay.
While you were sleeping, the Milwaukee Bucks took the Golden State Warriors to the woodshed in Oakland, which was worth noting in itself because the Bucks are one of the surprise teams in the NBA. But also of note, Steph Curry got hurt. They're saying it's an abductor-type thing. It looked like it could have been a groin as well. He said he's not worried or nervous, but he's never experienced it before. He's going to wait for the MRI today. I got hit up by a lot of Rockets fans that were giddy about this. You are in no position to worry about anybody else or, you know, because everybody's saying, oh, this is the injury everybody was talking about that could push the Rockets over the top. Well, maybe if you were playing decent basketball, but at the level you're playing, you need to worry more about what you're doing and not doing than whatever the hell happened with Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. The fact that you have a man's genital, well, I don't know what you're looking at.
I'm trying to see what
you've got, like, naked men on your screen right now.
You tell me what the abductor muscle is, and I got to go look it up. Like, what is the abductor muscle?
Do you have to look it up that close?
It's all the scientific ones.
What is that abductor that you're looking at right there?
That's a man's rumpus.
Oh, okay, there's more than a rumpus that you're looking at, sir. And I don't think I need to be a part of that mess.
So it's like the upper buttock, lower back area?
Okay.
Is that the abductor muscle? Do I have that correct, Dr. Joel?
I believe you're in the right vicinity, if I may.
Doctor?
Keep
doctor.
It there. Dr. Rosen?
Doctor.
I'm going to keep it there. I don't want to know anymore of whatever the heck you're looking at.
Can I brag about you a little bit?
Why?
Because yesterday we were talking about the NBA slate, and there was only 4 games.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it, and the Rockets played OKC, and then Milwaukee played Golden State, and those were the TNT games.
Yeah.
But Boston played the Suns.
Yeah.
And I was talking to you, and I was saying, hey, you know, Boston and the Suns, maybe there's some money to be made with Boston and Phoenix. I was like, maybe there's some money to be made with Houston at OKC and, you know, with Golden State hosting the Bucks. And you're like, ah, the NBA's weird. This feels like one of those weird nights where nothing goes like you think it will. And I was like, ah, whatever. Joel don't know what he's talking about. And then you knew exactly what you were talking about. Because the Suns,
Phoenix-Boston game went overtime, and Marcus Morris hit 3 just to get it there.
Yes, yes. And then,
how does that happen with as bad as Phoenix has been all year?
And Phoenix is horrific.
I've warned you, don't bet on NBA. It is the biggest trap in the world.
Well, I learned a little bit of a lesson last
night. Oh, did
you?
The hard way. Took it in the pocketbook, did you?
Yep.
Never good to hear that, sir.
Yep.
I don't wish that upon anybody, but I warned you.
You did.
Stay away.
Maybe I'll listen next time.
Everybody thought that some people would have a microphone in front of their mouth and be a broadcaster, and that didn't happen, so they got a table at Luke's. And on top of that, when you're sitting there and you're talking about what could have happened and would have happened, everybody was going to jump all over the Rockets last night because Westbrook wasn't playing.
Yeah, and then
how'd that work out for
it? It didn't work out for those people.
No. I hope you weren't one of those people.
Well,
Cody Stoops.
Misplaced hope.
Oh.
I blame Nick. Nick talked me into it last night.
Nick, you did it?
Or yesterday. Nick talked me into it.
I talked you into what?
You talked me into the Rockets yesterday.
And that was Joel. That's all Joel.
No,
oh,
that
stop
was you.
It.
Joel
that
was
you.
Like, oh, the Rockets are going to kill OKC with Westbrook out. That's what he said.
That's not what he said. That's not what he said.
That's absolutely
Nick,
what he said.
Nick, you can't lie and be the mayor of Beaumont.
Although, Nick, I think you seriously could win. I mean, you might have to spend a little more time in B-Town, but I'm telling you, I think you could win. Mayor Nick Sciarra has a ring to it.
I feel like the mayor of B-Town.
It does.
I feel like that would be a disaster. I don't feel like I would win.
I feel like getting results while you are the mayor would be a disaster. But while you're living large and collecting that check, you got this.
Think about that. How that would look on a resume, you know?
Yeah.
Down the road, mayor?
Yeah. Unless you do something improper once you're in office, Nick, rest of your life, paved like asphalt, fresh asphalt on the playground.
I'm producing the Big Show. Remember, I have an impressive resume. It's the Big Show. This is the Big Show.
That's true. And I won't take anything away from that. But at the same time,
we didn't
you
say
could take
stop.
A step above if you put mayor next to your name, no matter what size the city is, regardless of the population. I mean, this is big money, B-Town.
Nah, so they got you.
I mean,
they hooked you.
If you're mayor of big money, that is cashing out whatever you feel like it, brother.
Oh, man.
You feel what I'm saying, brother? You and your Hulkamania.
Oh, don't get me started.
I don't want to. I really don't. I don't want you to do that. So anyway, Steph Curry's hurt. Warriors finally lose. But here's the other thing that I keep saying that people were all, when they were talking about the Rockets and what's going to happen. Oh, it's early. Don't worry about it. But here's the thing. If your barometer is the Golden State Warriors, and it has been because of what happened last year and the year before and the year before that and what you want to do this year. Well, your barometer is kicking ass and taking names until last night. They're winning games by the bushel full. Their best players are playing great, and they are the exact mirror opposite of what the Rockets have been doing. That's a problem because the bigger thing is, too, you want to have home court again, and you know that Golden State lost that last year and probably should have lost that series, as we know, because of the fact the Rockets should win that series. But it was also because the Rockets held that wild card. They had the home court advantage. It didn't matter because Paul was out. You want that same situation again with a healthy Paul because that gets you over the top. Instead, Golden State's going to get such a sizable advantage that even if you do straighten it out, you ain't catching them.
That is the disappointing part, that 10 games into the season, it feels so out of place to have a conversation about the Rockets being even in the same zip code as the Warriors. That is, I think, one of the most telling things about this Rockets team is you should be talking about them in a situation where it's like, okay, every game matters in the quest for home court over Golden State. And it should matter that Steph Curry got hurt. But you know what? It doesn't matter to the Rockets right now that Steph Curry got hurt because you're nowhere near them. You're nowhere near them. And playing like them or playing like the team last year or even at a level that's similar, you're nowhere near it. And that is what I think is one of the most disappointing things about this Rockets season is you're not even near any of those things. All those worries that people had, all those national pundits that were saying this wasn't going to work and this might pop up and that might pop up, and then right before the season, the defense Jesus leaves, you got to bring him back. And it's everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong in the first eighth of the season, and I don't see a route to second place, first place, third place Rockets right now.
I don't either. I don't. And people get mad at me when I say that, and I heard all of the excuses. It's early in the season. You can't be judging defense this early. The roster's going to take shape. They got to get over injuries and suspensions. Well, like you said, now we're getting to like a substantial sample size. We're getting past the 10. We're in double-digit games. We're looking at a bigger body of work to evaluate. And when you're looking at all those things, you're looking at a team that doesn't look like a championship contender, that maybe doesn't look on certain nights like a playoff contender because of the fact that you can't hang your hat on the excuses that everybody wanted to from the get, right? The defense, the injuries, the suspension to Chris Paul, you know, all these different things, the getting over the loss of Bezdelic and getting your feet back under you. Well, all those things now are ironing themselves out. And I ask you guys, what's more important? The fact that a team that's supposed to be scoring points at a rapid rate amongst the best in the NBA is 24th in pace in the league? Or the fact that the defense isn't worth anything right now? And even with Bezdelic, I don't know that he has the personnel to fix it.
You got to have the guys. You got to have the talent and the guys and the will from those players to make it happen. So my question for you, and it may be more than just a momentary answer, so we may need to ask this and then think about it here for a second.
Yep.
At what point, and I'm not asking this because I think he's the reason, but at what point do the Rockets, you know,
pull the plug on Melo?
Yeah, take the egg on their face and pull the plug. 10 games, it's been bad. It's been real bad. Career lows in damn near everything he does.
All right, Nick follows his team on a regular basis too, so we'll hold that till after the break. We'll get to that, and we'll give our opinions. We can kick that around a little bit more. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we're available. We'd love to hear from you. 713-780-3776. It's our HRNP listener line. On an FEF Friday, you, the fans of the show, matter. You, the usual suspects, you get in here. So you call us, you text us, you tweet us. We'll get you a part of the show. Back with more in just mere minutes. It's the usual suspects. That means it's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. Come on down and see us. We'll be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. Lots of fun games and shenanigans going on both during the show and during breaks. As the armchair experts are saddled up to my left, and everybody else is present and accounted for as well. We got an interesting text from someone that really likes to sugarcoat it. It says, the Rockets suck. Talk about something more interesting like anything, like literally curling. Before we do that, you had a question for me and Nick before we move on. So ask it again for those that might be just tuning in, and we'll get it and go.
You're an eighth of the way into this thing.
Uh-huh.
Carmelo Anthony literally has career lows in almost everything that he's doing. Just almost every single thing he's doing. Shooting percentage, everything. And I'm not asking this to put all the blame on him, but I'm asking this on just is the guy bringing anything to the table? At what point, because of the commitment that you have to him that is minimal, at what point do the Rockets just say, you know what, this is an experiment that did not work, and just move on?
Nicholas, I'll let you go first.
I think even if they do decide to move from Melo, that's going to be like a mental decision, and they're not going to make a move until the following season anyway. So I think after the All-Star break, perhaps you circle back to James Harden and Chris Paul, and maybe even Clint, and say, hey, how do you think this is working out? And if they're not meshing well, and if they're not anywhere close to a 50, 55, 60 game, 60 win season, I think the following year is when you pull the trigger. But right now, even if you wanted to, even if you realize at some point in the season that this Melo experiment is not going to work, you can't make a move. And then next year, is he going to be willing to accept the same amount of money at $2.4 million? I don't know if he's willing to do that. So I think you circle back to the situation after the midway point.
Here's where I'm at. I hear everything you're saying, Nick, but I'm not even thinking about next year, and I don't think anybody else is either, because it's too far gone already. But in terms of your question, Cody, about when do you make the move, the biggest thing that you got to know right now is Daryl Morey is exhausting the phone lines because he knows this is unacceptable. There's a reason why Jeff Bezdelic's coming back. It has nothing to do with his emotional, worn-out self in basketball. Tillman went and got him because he knew there was an issue. But the bigger thing is you've got two superstars, which were the only two driving forces behind bringing Melo here.
Right.
So you got to realize they're going to have their undies in a wad if you decide to pull the plug, especially if you don't consult with them, and they're going to probably argue for him. So I think you have a split locker room. You've got two guys on one side. You got the rest on the other. And I think the other thing that comes into play here is what Daryl's going to do. If he's close to a deal and the way the money is going to be shifting and the players coming in that may or may not demand or need a certain amount of playing time, that will dictate when you pull the plug on Melo. If you go and get yourself a couple of active defensive wings that can play the system that you're supposed to be playing, which is 3 and D and running the floor,
right,
that's going to make you entice you to want to pull the plug quicker. And because of the fact that his stats are making it real easy for you to pull the plug now.
Because it's, I mean, and I guess my point would be if you did it now or close to now, there's not a replacement. So your element is if there's a replacement, if there's a guy that can play those minutes, play them effectively, and do something well when he gets that opportunity, then you make that decision. But you know, I'm kind of in between both of you guys, whereas I don't want
to. I would prefer that to never happen in real life, by the way. I don't want you in between Nick, myself, or both of us.
Okay. Got to be careful.
Just want to let you know.
My opinion falls somewhere between your opinion and Nick's opinion. Cleaned it up
all
a little
right,
bit
thank
there.
You. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you don't want to pull it too quick and risk the Harden Paul thing turning on you, because the NBA superstars call the shots. Doesn't matter how good of a manager, general manager you are, they call the shots. And if you're Daryl Morey and you make James Harden and Chris Paul angry, they're not going to talk to you about it. They're talking to the guy that signs the checks about it.
Oh, yeah. But here's the thing. First of all, you're absolutely right, because we've all experienced it. Don't ever pull it too quick. I mean, that's something that I'll take directly from you, and I think I've taken that advice myself over the years. But I think here's the other thing. If Butler is truly on the radar, and Butler and with Butler in a trade, you get a wing, a young wing that can shoot the three, could play a little D. Well, especially if he's under contract for a couple of years. That's going to entice you to say, I got a guy that fills the role that's going to play the way we want him to play. That's not going to have to be the center of attention in the locker room. And, you know, with every single time it needs to be about me, 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 me. And I think other people are kind of picking up what I put down at the start of the year, which is Carmelo Anthony is a Hall of Famer. Carmelo Anthony has been the man his entire career. He won a championship at Syracuse being the man. He was the man with the Denver Nuggets. He was the man with the New York Knicks. Sometimes it's really super hard, and I heard Barkley talking about it last night. It's really super hard to accept the fact that you're not the man anymore. He had a problem with that in Oklahoma City. He felt like being around his two good friends would make it easier to accept that role and really focus on winning this year, and it hasn't happened. If they continue to spiral downward, depending on what Daryl Morey does, the plug's going to be pulled before the All-Star break, in my opinion. If Daryl's trying to make a move, and one of those moves involves a young guy like I'm talking about, or a player that fits the mold more of what D'Antoni wants,
sure,
that $2.4 million in Carmelo Anthony is shuffling off to wherever. So that's just the way I see it, because it's too easy right now with this bad start and how good the rest of the league is playing and how many points are being scored to have this team go from a franchise record 65 wins to a less than 50-win season, which would be just a dramatic disappointment.
And fans and people that do what we do are always a lot quicker to that sort of decision than management. But even NBA players, and you've seen the way free agency acts and the way these players make decisions, sometimes they don't care how the guy is playing. They care about the name.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Harden and Paul got involved with the Carmelo. It was the name. It was their buddy. It wasn't really good player that can come off the bench, hit the shots, and play a little bit of defense. It was, it's Carmelo. Well, the stats show that he's not very good and he can't come off the bench. Well, it doesn't matter. He's Carmelo Anthony. Like, NBA players fall in love with the name and the idea of guys more so than the results, and it's just not working right now. And I don't see it working.
So I gave you the on-floor Carmelo, right? But you're right. Everybody can see what Carmelo can't see in terms of where he has his ability-wise, where he is in his career now, as opposed to where he was. But you're right. Everybody sees Golden State, and they see not only talent as a team, but they see big names in those four big spots. So that's why Carmelo Anthony inserted to be the fourth member to go along with the big three of the Rockets. Got a lot of fans and casual fans enamored with what it could be. But for those of us that, like you said, follow the team on a regular basis, we knew what it had the potential to be, and there were more cons than pros simply because of what he's shown us in the past year or so. And I told people this. Take all of his quotes from this year or all of his quotes from last year, and you can interchange them. They're the same thing, just two different teams. Bad fit. I got to see where I'm at mentally. I don't know how long this is going to take before I can accept coming off the bench. Okay? It's a broken record. It's a novel that's already been read. So unless you want to rewrite history, in my mind, it's already heading down a bad path to be over.
No doubt.
So.
No doubt. And the other thing, too, it's just you don't want to squander a year where it looked like you're living in an era where Golden State's doing what Golden State does. Okay. Like, you just have to live with
Chris
that.
Chris Paul's not getting any younger, gang. You already overpaid him and added an extra year that you didn't need to at $40-plus million. That's something you don't want as it is.
Yep.
But you can't afford injury now. Like last year when you were rolling, you could take an injury late in the season and go, we're good because we're going to be all right come playoff time. Because of the slow start and because of where they're sitting with in regards to Golden State and the top teams in the conference, you don't have that luxury.
Nope. You sure don't. You sure don't.
All right, so we're two in the books. We still got an hour to go in the big show. We're going to be joined by the Sports Mappers next, where we're going to simulcast till 4. Blitz will do the same thing till 7. It's going to be a fantastic run here at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. If you want to join us, stop by and see us. Fred and AJ will be here as well, and they would love to see the big crew that always comes to Beaumont, Texas. Matter of fact, the boys are here in town. They're both back in front of us, so therefore, stop by and see the guys before the show, then sit in for the show, and enjoy the ride up until 7 o'clock. It is Luke's Ice House in Beaumont with plenty of happy hour specials. Cody Stutes in for Barry Laminack, myself, and Nick Sharara, the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. He was wearing a hammer, price you gotta pay when you break the panorama. She never knew that there was anything more than gold. What in the world does your company say? Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.